Amen. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight, I'm going to share with you a sermon I actually preached yesterday at the men's conference for two reasons. Number one, it's not men's specific, so I can preach it to women and men, doesn't matter. Number two, sometimes you get these special sermons and you never preach them again. So it was good, and I want to speak on it again if you happen to be at the men's conference. I can't speak the same sermon twice without it being different anyway, so don't worry about that. All right, if you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 5, John the fifth chapter, the first verse. We'll go through verse number 9. I just want to say something about the men's conference we had in Broken Arrow. It was a wonderful time, and we do encourage you next year. I mean, if you're a man, encourage you to go to the men's conference. If you're a woman, we have a women's conference. Encourage you to go to that. We always have wonderful speakers. In fact, my wife, actually, they had a clip this morning, some of the speakers. He goes, I think you guys had better speakers than we did at the women's conference. And so, now don't tell mom that because she'll get mad. But anyway, it's not true. All right. I'm sure you guys had a wonderful conference. I wasn't there, so I don't know. All right. John chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And so let's kind of describe what was going on, because sometimes we read stories and we don't really think about something. There was a big pool, and I kind of, you know, to kind of get some clarification, I kind of think maybe like a wave pool, if you ever gone to a water park, you know, wave pool or maybe a big swimming pool. And it says that there were five porches, and around the pool, there was a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed. So I don't know if there was a rule that you had to be so sick before you could enter the pool, you know, because every pool I've ever gone to always has rules. You know, usually no lifeguard on duty, you know, no diving in the deep end or no diving in the shallow end, all kinds of rules or whatever. Maybe there were rules you had to be so sick to get in. I don't know what the rules really were. I'm sure there was some kind of rules. I don't know if the pool closed at nighttime. I don't know if it was open 24 hours. And it tells us an angel came down and stirred the water. I don't know how often that happened, because the Bible doesn't tell us, you know, it's going to happen once every quarter, once a month, once a week, one time a day. It doesn't tell us. It just tells us that there was a bunch of sick people gathered around this pool waiting. And, you know, now it points out blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And so there was this one man in particular who had a disease for 38 years. 38 years is a long time to have anything. You know, sometimes we think about, well, it's interesting how your perspective things changes as you get older. You know, whenever you're younger, you're thinking about, man, how long do I got to go to school? All right, you know, if you went to high school, then it's 12 years. You know, if you go to college, then you're probably going to add at least 4 more years, or maybe more if you happen to be a doctor or a lawyer. Who knows? You might add 8 or 10 years. Or if you don't know what you're doing and change your major 12 times, like some of these people, you know, who knows how long they are? In fact, one of my friends when I was in college is still in college. I believe he actually works for the college now. So I guess he stuck around so long because, I mean, he kept getting this degree, that degree, and he stuck around so long they actually hired him. And so he's still there. But you know, you think about this. I mean, we'll just take our high school years, 12 years. 12 years seems like a long time until after you graduate. You know, while you're going through that 12 years, it seemed like a very long time. After you graduate, it's like 3 years later and you're having your 10th year reunion. Not literally 3 years, but it seems like 3 years later. Then, you know, and then you turn around two times and then it's your 20-year reunion. And then you're like me, I just had my 30-year reunion like 2 years ago now. You know, and so, I mean, it won't be long. Like in 3 days, it'll be my 40-year reunion. That's kind of joking, but it kind of seems like that. But the point is, so you take, you know, 12 years of high school, you times that by three. And that's still not as long as this man's been sick. I mean, you know, now I don't know how many years he, or how long he's laid there, but he said he's laid there for a long time. Sorry, this, we can find a new mic here, and it's kind of touching my face, you know, and it's making some noises. Not that my face makes noises, it's just some. This man's been lying there a long time. Now think about this. When Jesus came to him, Jesus said, well, do you want to be healed? He goes, I don't have anybody to help me. He said, before I can get to the water, somebody else jumps in. Now, so basically he was saying, there is no hope for me, but I'm still lying here by the pool. You know, and I'm sure, you know, there was a lot of folks that were lying there by the pool. They were never going to be the first one in. But month after month after month, year after year after year, they laid there by the pool just hoping and praying that somebody else will slip on their way in, somebody will trip, somebody won't see the moving of the water because they're sleeping or something, and they'll get in first. Because, you know, at that point in time, they only knew one way to get healed, and that was getting that water whenever the angel stirred it up. So think about this. This man sat there, I'm sure, for years, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then one day Jesus came and said, you want to be made well? And the guy said, you know, tells him the story, you know, sir, I have no man. You know, and then Jesus told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. But I don't want to talk about healing today. I want to talk about Jesus. I think it's interesting because if you read the Gospels, everywhere that Jesus went, you can even read that he was in a boat. He went across the lake, and we got to the other side. There were multitudes there waiting for Jesus. I don't know how. Maybe somebody had a speedboat, and they were able to beat Jesus across the lake and you know, was able to yell, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye, Jesus is coming. So, you know, because, you know, they didn't have internet. They didn't, I mean, you know, how do you know where Jesus is coming? And so multitudes were always around when Jesus showed up. But this man obviously did not recognize Jesus because he said, sir, I have no man. I mean, because if he would have knew who Jesus was, I mean, he would have said, you know, master, heal me. You know, what's also interesting is nobody else, all these other people that are laying at the porches, nobody else recognized Jesus. Nobody. Nobody recognized Jesus. You know, and I think sometimes it is interesting that we almost have the same mentality. Although we know Jesus is with us, we know if we're born again Christian that we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. And we know about what Jesus, I mean, in a few days, we're going to celebrate Christmas. And we know about Jesus coming to this earth. A few more months, we're going to celebrate Easter. You know, we know about Jesus dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. We know about the stripes he took on his body. I mean, that we're healed through those stripes. But sometimes we're so focused on our situation, on our sickness, on our, you know, what we're going through, that we forget about the man, even when he's right there with us. I mean, you know, we forget that there is the real man, the greater one that lives on the inside of us. You know, sometimes that we, us guys, you know, someone does something awesome, you know, especially if you're playing sports or whatever, and everyone's like, you the man, you the man, you know. Anyone seen that? You know, like, you're the man, you know. I mean, could might even do it at work. You know, someone makes you know, great accomplishment, or someone does something so special that everybody gets time off or a party or whatever, like, you're the man. You know, but really, nobody's really the man because Jesus is the man. He's the true man. In fact, the inner man is our true man. And Paul, remember he told Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. He was saying, stir that man up. Serve that man up. You know, whenever you're going through your situations, when it seems like there is no way out, when it seems like there is no hope, when it seems like you're going under, stir the man up. Look at the man. Look for that man. He's on the inside. You know, we don't have to find Jesus. You know, whenever we came to Jesus, he found us. He's always with us. And he's there on the inside. He's the real man. You know, I know my grandfather, sometimes he used to joke around. He said, you know, I believe that if the Holy Ghost came in the service tonight with a red hat on, nobody would recognize him. And sometimes, you know, like I said, you know, it seems like that's how we are with Jesus. Not that we don't recognize him, we kind of forget about him. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, forget not all his benefits. You know, we forget about the benefits. You know, sometimes when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, basically we punched our ticket to heaven. You know, we got our boarding pass. And sometimes people think, man, I got my boarding pass. They're holding up. Hey, look at this. I got my boarding pass. And they forget about the benefits with that boarding pass. There's a lot of benefits that we get with that boarding pass. You know, health, wealth, you know, joy. Peace, love, all these benefits that we have. And what we forget about Jesus. And so don't be like this man. Be face to face with Jesus and not know that he's the man. You know, and like I said, we don't, no longer we face to face with Jesus. He dwells on the inside. You know, and a scripture I'm sure all of you can quote, but we'll go ahead and turn there. 1 John 4:4. And some of you probably, I know a lot of you have your devotion times, and this might be a scripture that you read every morning. You know, it says this, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The greater one lives on the inside, the real man. And so sometimes you need to open the door and let the greater one out. Understand that it might not look good. It might look like you're going through a bad situation, but it's time to unleash the greater one. Unleash the real man. Now, I like it what it says in the New Living Translation because it kind of even makes it more plain. It says this, verse 4, but if you belong to God, my dear children, you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. It says you have already won, not you're going to win. Amen. Because I don't know how many times, but people, you know, some Christians tell other Christians, well, you're going to win the battle. You're going to win the victory. No, you've already won the battle and already won the victory. Amen. Now, do you realize, I mean, you know, today, the, you know, NFL games were today. Yesterday, college football games were on. And, you know, there were a lot of teams afterwards. They were cheering because they won the victory. Some of the teams that weren't supposed to win the victory won the victory. All right? And they're cheering about that. But the point is, if you already won the victory, you can cheer in the middle of the game. Now, if you're playing a real athletic event, if you start cheering in the middle of the game, you might end up losing. You know, in fact, when I was driving here, I didn't see the game, but I was listening to the announcer start talking about, I guess the Kansas City Chiefs lost in the last few minutes of the game today. And it says the announcers are already pretty much thought they were going to win, already pretty much gave them the victory. But they end up to be the loser. But a lot of us have the loser mentality when we are the victor. And the reason we're the victor is because he's a victor and he's on the inside of us. He has already won the battle. And so what happens is, and you know, I quote it all the time, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. All right, the devil tries to lie to us and tell us we haven't won the victory, that we're not going to win, that we're not going to overcome, that you know, it's not going to happen. Now, here's the thing. If I was to have a survey and I was to ask everybody, and we could do it, you know, where no one knows what you write down, and I was to say, you know, the devil is a liar, true, false, and everybody would say true. And then, even though you would say it's a true statement, then why do you listen to the devil? Why do you listen to a liar? And I kind of make up, you know, a thing, because, you know, everyone has that friend that caught a fish about this big, but whenever they come to the story, it grows. And so after enough times of seeing what they really caught and hearing how it really ended up, that whenever they tell you something, you actually don't believe it. You kind of turn into the disciple Thomas. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, because they have a habit of exaggerating. We call this a nice word for lying. You know, there are a lot of ministers that exaggerate, like how many people were there, how many people got saved, you know, how many people got healed, because they don't want to say there was only one. But you know what? If just one person got their life changed, it would be worth it anyway, so why does it matter? You know, some people are embarrassed. Well, only one person. You know, if only one person came to your meeting and that one person got healed, got saved, then, you know, that's awesome. I mean, you know, one person changed their life. I mean, you have to understand, but what if that one person went on in life and turned out to be someone like Billy Graham, who led countless thousands, maybe millions of people to Christ? You know, never discount one person. But the one person we need to remember is the greater one that lives on the inside of us. Now, to finish John 10:10, it says, but I have come, Jesus talking to himself, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he's already saying, hey, if you'll learn to lean on me, we're going to get through this. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what kind of lie he says. Because see, what happens is the devil talks to your head. Jesus talks to your heart. You know, and I know actually, I'll tell you, my grandfather's very first message ever was head faith versus heart faith. Because you have to get what's on the inside of your heart up into your head. All right? And that's why, you know, we talked about, the Bible talks about casting down imaginations. It talks about getting the mind of Christ. You know, because you have to think, quit thinking about you and think about Christ that dwells in you. Now, a lot of times, you know, people read a scripture, and because of the scripture, because of the way it's written, sometimes they kind of get a bad, their mentality is a little bit bad, or the theology is not quite right. I want to go to Philippians 4:13. This happens to be my mom's favorite scripture. Most of you probably know it, probably can quote it. The scripture says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, many people read that scripture and all they talk about is I. They get the I mentality. But really the scripture talks about that you're not going to do anything if Jesus doesn't give you the strength. And so a lot of times, I mean, for years you talk about, well, I can do all things. I can do all things. No, the Bible does not say you can do all things. It says you can do all things when you let Christ. When you let Christ, when you let Christ strengthen you, give you the power, give you the authority. It doesn't say you can do all things. Really what the Bible is saying is we can do all things. We mean you in Christ, and actually it should be Christ in you. All right? And just kind of like, you know, I was thinking about this while preparing this message and thinking about, you know, it's interesting because when you see certain people, I mean, there are certain people that are really good friends, you know, like best friends, and every time you see one, you always see the other. It's like they're sidekicks, always with them. Or sometimes, and maybe they're happy brothers or whatever, or sisters, they're always together. And I started thinking, you know, in the entertainment industry, the world that we live in, going back from, you know, the olden days, you had some guys named Laurel and Hardy, always together. Then you had Abbott and Costello. That's kind of before my days. And then, you know, kind of go through and you had the Lone Ranger and Tonto. I don't know if some of you remember that. Of course, a dynamic duo, you know, Batman and Robin. You know, of course, some of you like to watch, And remember, as a young kid, you have Bert and Ernie, always together. You know, Starsky and Hutch. And I'm going through, you know, different generations. You know, I know my era in music, and we had a group called Hall & Oates. Some of you might remember that. I didn't say Hall & Oates. I mean, you know, I'm talking about Hall and Oates, two people. Or country guys, Brooks and Dunn. Or some of you young people, Woody and Buzz. I mean, you know, there's always duos out there. So what we need to understand is that Jesus and you are a duo. You're not a solo artist. And sometimes when we read this verse, we think, oh, I'm a solo. It's about I. No, it should always be about we. And we have to think, you know, that Jesus is a greater one. He's the Batman, so you're Robin. You're like Robin. He's like Batman. Do you realize that if you watch Batman and Robin, do you understand that Batman always has the ideas? You know, and Robin's like, okay. You know, I mean, Batman's the one who always has the idea. He figures it all out. And Robin's just there to help Batman. Well, see, you know, that's the thing. When we cast our cares upon the Lord, we're like, you know, Lord, you figure it out. And I'll just hang out in the background here. I'll help you out if you need anything. But you know, the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. And you realize if you're really casting your cares upon the Lord, then you have no more cares. If you have no more cares, then he's caring and you're not. And if he's caring and you're not, then you can go out and touch the world and get people saved. But what happens is that we have a mentality, even though he's caring, we have to care too. Because, you know, we think, you know, so I have to understand, this is the, you know, he's the greatest one to ever walk the face of the earth. And, you know, you realize anytime you walk in a room, he's always with you. The Bible clearly says, it says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you walk, I don't care, you know, if you're in the White House, the outhouse, the bathroom, or wherever you're at, he's always with you. Amen. He's always with you. The Bible also says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And anytime we read about all the things that happened through his ministry, but you know what? Even the yesteryears. Remember about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? One of the greatest miracles in the Bible, how they were thrown in a fiery furnace that was seven times hotter than it normally is, which always made no sense to me. You know, it was already hot enough to kill them, so let's turn it up seven times hotter. Do you realize if you, you know, I don't do a lot of baking. The only thing that I ever cook in an oven, you know, well, when I was younger, I cook TV dinners because we didn't have microwaves. Some of you might remember TV dinners. You know, now you don't have TV dinners. In fact, most of you couldn't wait for the TV dinner to take too long. You're like, I can't wait for that long. The only thing I really cook in the microwave, or not microwave, in the oven, is I get these canned cinnamon rolls. Or sometimes I've done canned biscuits. I really like canned biscuits. I don't know why. I mean, I like them better than homemade. I like Hungry Jack flaky biscuits. I mean, they're really good. And so, you know, and it tells you in the directions how much heat the oven up to. And then it tells you if heat the oven to that degree, and you put it in at that point, it's going to take about this long for your oven to cook. You know, I have found out some ovens cook faster than others. Might happen to be a quick oven. I don't know why. And so I have to make sure I maintain and watch that because, you know, there's been a number of times I'm not watching and my cinnamon rolls gets burned on the bottom. And you can't see it on the top, but on the bottom, you see, you just have to know. All right, but you know, I'm not going to turn my oven up seven times hotter because it's just going to make, like, burn my cinnamon rolls to a crisp. And that was not very smart. But, you know, the king was mad, so he didn't make a smart decision. He said, I'm going to turn it up seven times hotter. Well, what happened was they threw these three guys into the fire and their guards, which actually, if you read about it, they weren't just ordinary guards. They were like some of the high priest guards. I mean, they were like some of the, you know, high-ranking officials. The guards died because it was so hot. And they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and they were bound up. And they just threw them in there, and they began to look. You know, and all of a sudden, as they were looking, they were like, wait a minute, didn't we throw them in bound up? They're like walking around. And not only are they walking around, somebody's with them. The Lord is with them. Walking around, because, you know, he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Right there in the middle of the fiery furnace, and when they get him out, now you understand, that's a big thing. When they get him out, two guys died on the way in that weren't even in the fire. Three guys went in, four guys were there, and when they get him out, you know, they didn't see Jesus. He didn't come out with them, but it says they didn't smell like smoke. You know, they weren't bound up. And that's like a miracle, because I don't know if some of you are old enough to remember when we had restaurants that had smoking and non-smoking. And even if you asked for non-smoking, if you had to sit close to the smoking section, you would smell like smoke. Or, you know, a number of times, you know, especially about around this time of year, it's nice to have a fire or a campfire or whatever. Man, you know, you're around the campfire, that's all really cool. And then all of a sudden, after you walk in your house, you're like, I smell like the campfire. Sometimes you can smell like that if you're close enough to your fireplace. If you're the one, you know, smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. I mean, that's how amazing it is. But, you know, and I always thought about this. You know, there's so many times we're going through life that we always pray, Lord, let me not get into that fire. Let me not get into that fire. But you know what? I don't care whether you get into the fire or not. It doesn't matter if they throw you in the fire. Jesus is with you in the fire, and he'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. Because remember, you're a duo. It's not just you, it's him and you. And you're in the fire together. You know, I don't care if you're thrown in a fire. I don't care if you're thrown in a lion's den. He's with you there. If you're thrown in a whale, he's with you there. If you're facing a giant, he's with you there. And we read about in the Bible, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus was with them, he's also with you. You know, I don't know how much, I mean, I just gave you, you know, four scenarios that seemed like they were pretty bad ones. I mean, you know, I know, fiery furnace, lion's den, you know, and a whale, which that seems like almost impossible, but, you know. Actually, technically, the Bible says big fish. It doesn't say whale. And a whale is a mammal for people that want to get technical. So I have no clue. But, you know, when I was a little kid, we learned about Jonah and the whale. So I'm gonna stick with it right now. All right. You know, some of you, my generation, that's how you learned it. So we're just going to stick with it. And then, you know, in front of a giant that's like killed, slaughtered thousands of people, doesn't matter, you know, what you're facing. If you'll recognize, first of all, that Jesus is with you, yeah. and you'll let him lead, and he'll say, hey, you know what? It's no longer us, or no longer me, it's we. Everywhere you go, it's we. Now, I found out if you'll start developing the we mentality, it's hard to be depressed. Yeah. People are depressed because they feel that they're alone. They feel that nobody cares. They feel that, you know, that they're going through all the situation alone. Well, it's hard to be alone whenever you're together. Amen. You know, and once again, you're the sidekick. You're with Jesus. You know, I never heard the disciples, as they walk with Jesus, thinking, well, we're all alone. We're all alone. No, they weren't alone. They're all together. And that's how you are. Now, you know, another thing to lean on that is that another reason that we have churches and, you know, and we have friends, you know, it says two or more gather together and touching anything, you know, people that are like-minded, you know, you want to get with people that are like-minded to be there, to be your strength. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes for whatever reason, I don't know why we tend to forget about Jesus and start thinking about our situation, but when we have some good people around about us, they're like, you know what, you need to snap out of it. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Some people want to know why I always have a good attitude, because I know that I've already won the victory. I know that there's no situation that I'll ever face that I can't get through. And it's not because of me, or I should say that we can't get through. That we can't make, you know, we can't get through. We're going to get through any situation. any circumstance. It doesn't matter if it seems impossible. The things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. All right? Or you know, nothing is impossible with God, or no thing is impossible. There is no thing that you will ever face. Now, I mean, that should make people excited. Now, so what happens is we start facing situations that seem really bad. Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You know, when you don't know what to do, that's whenever you let him do it. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Do you realize that, like, using the Batman and Robin illustration, like I said, when Robin, you know, got in the situation, he always like, you know, golly geez, Batman, you know, do something. You know, and Batman always knew what to do. Well, your God's greater than Batman. Your God's greater than Batman, Superman, the Incredible Hulk all rolled together. Now, speaking, I have to say this because I just thought about it. One of our speakers heard a story about Muhammad Ali. And so when I was talking about superheroes, it made me think about it. I want to share it because it's kind of a funny story. So he was on an airplane, and the stewardess says, Mr. Ali, you know, can you, you need to buckle up, or we're getting ready to take off. And Muhammad Ali says, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. So the stewardess came back and says, Superman doesn't need an airplane either. So I've thought about that in talking about superheroes, you know. Sometimes we think that we're invincible or whatever, but you're not. But praise God, the greater one is on the inside of us. Amen. And he is. Amen. He is. We're going to get through this situation every time. I don't care how bad it ever seems. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Remember, you have already won the victory through Christ Jesus. You have already won. You know, and so I get it. I mean, I've been there, you've been there, we've all been there. You know, when we hear, you know, bad news, or we go to the doctor, they give us a bad report. You know, or things going on with our family. And, you know, and that's when we have to think about whose report we're going to believe. I always shake it off and move forward. You know, for a second there, you know, the mentality, your mind starts wondering, but that's when you have to learn to let the greater one on the inside come out. Because, I don't know how many times my mom's like, I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pay that bill? How are we going to be able to make it happen? But, you know, it's not about how I'm going to do it. It's what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What I'm going to do is I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to Jesus. I'm going to give it to the greater one. And I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to let God be God in this situation. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. Because we showed up together. Together. Everywhere you walk, as long as you're a born-again Christian, you're not an I, you're a we. And I don't mean that's the video game by Nintendo. I'm talking about you're a we, like you're together, for some of you younger people. You know, and so what I want you to remember all the days of your life from now on is every time you face a situation, it's not an I situation anymore. It's a we situation. It's a we situation. And whenever one of the we's is Jesus, it's not going to be a bad situation. You know, but there are times it might feel like that we're in the fire, but understand, you're not alone. You're not alone. You know, it was a miracle, first of all, that they got, you know, that the ropes were burned, but they were still walking around. You know, if they still would have perished, that still would have been a miracle that they walked around. But you know, God's not going to let you perish. Amen. You know, ever heard the statement, God's not going to take me this far to let me down? Yeah. You know, I've actually, There has been times where I've gone through a situation and I've thought about it and said, Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for me to have to go through this. Or for me to feel this way. He didn't take stripes on his back for me to feel this way. You know, and I know that that I might be going through this situation, but these things are only temporal. It's only temporary. Amen. You know, the only thing that's going to stop me is me. Because I don't remember the we. You're the only thing that can stop God. Because if you'll put him first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, every time. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, there are situations. And I, you know, I could even hear my grandfather reading James 1:2, count it all joy. He says, it's not always going to be joyful. You just count it like it's joy. You laugh when other people don't. Because the greater one's on the inside of you. You know you're going to get through it. You know you're going to make it. You know you've already won the victory. You know it's already been done. You know, we don't have to wait till the end of the game to cheer. You know, and like I said, I realize people cheer during the game, but there is a different cheer after you won. There's a different jubilation. You know, when you're cheering in the game, you know, sometimes one team cheers, then all of a sudden the other team comes down and scores and you're not cheering anymore. And then maybe you cheer again because your team scores, that team scores, and you quit cheering again. You know, but after the game, when the one team wins, there's always one team that's really cheering and one team that's really not. The thing about it, with Jesus, you'll never be the team that's really not. I mean, that's a big deal. That, you know, I mean, think about, because I mean, I played a lot of sports in my life. I mean, you know, how awesome it would be to be 50 years old and never lost a game. Never lost a game. Now, if I was that, I'd probably still be playing professional football right now, which I never played professional football, by the way. I just want to make sure that some people, you know, after high school, I didn't play anymore. I did get offered, actually. This is something that I thought about going to a small school and maybe playing football. But I did, and I went to Oklahoma State University. And I don't know if some of you remember whenever we had a probation violation. And we lost a bunch of scholarships. And the defensive coordinator actually sent me a note to my English class, but I had a bunch of the other athletes, and invited me to come and talk to him to walk on for the football team. And I didn't do it. I don't regret many things in life. I actually regret that, because at the time we weren't very good. We weren't going to be very good. We weren't going to be on TV. We weren't going to be on a bowl game. No one came to the stadium to watch us anyway. You know, and I didn't think about the future, that Oklahoma State actually might be a really good football team later on, and people might care, and I might have a jersey sitting in my thinking, if I never got on the field, I have a jersey and a helmet and can say, you know, I played Division I football. But I didn't go, because basically, you know, my mind's thinking, well, I'm just going to be a tackling type. I'm going to be an extra guy, you know, there to whatever. But, you know, plus some, I wanted to work on my education and things like that. One of the few things in life I regret. I regret very few for things, even some things that I've done wrong. I don't regret it because I learned a lesson. You know, but I didn't go talk to him, because I knew if I talked to him, I'd go. I'd play. You know, so I never went and talked to him. And, you know, he actually sent me another note and begged me to come talk to him, but I still didn't do it. But I wish I would have. And so, but the thing about it, man, if you would never lose a game, think about that. Never losing a game your entire career. I'm not talking about just junior high, elementary. I'm not talking about just one sport. Every sport you played, you always won. But that's how it is with Jesus. Every time that you walk into a situation, you win. Actually, the Bible says I have already won. And if you'll develop that mentality, you won't get depressed. You won't lose your joy. You won't get agitated somebody else. You know, because a lot of times what happens, first of all, we start getting mad. You know, a lot of times when people get angry, they're not even mad at you. They're mad at their situation, and they take it out on you. Happens a lot in the family. I mean, you know, For whatever reason, everyone takes it out on me. It doesn't matter. My kids, my wife, my dad, everyone takes it out on me. I don't know. Maybe because I always talk to them. I open my mouth at the wrong time usually. And so, you know, when people are mad at something else, they take it out on me. I'm like the punching bag. Maybe because sometimes I'm a little too joyful, I guess. And, you know, I'm not, you know, but there are times that sometimes we get mad and we take it out on somebody else, even though sometimes we're even mad at ourselves. You know, but the thing about it is, when you know you already won, you're going to take it out on anyone. You're going to be mad at anybody. You're not going to be mad because you didn't prepare, because Jesus prepared. You know, that's what happens. A lot of times things hit us and we're not prepared, but we don't have to be prepared because he did. Develop the we mentality. And you're going through every situation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that that you'll help us to understand, help us to realize that we have already won. Help us to know that whenever we walk into a room, whenever we go into a situation, that we have won together. Father, we just thank you right now to help us from this day forward to develop that we mentality. And I know that there will be situations. I know there'll be circumstances. There'll be opportunities to get down on ourselves. But instead of doing that, help us to know, help us to remember this message. Help us to look to the inside. Help us to know that we can do all things. We can do all things because you strengthen us. Because you give us the strength. You give us the power. You give us the ability to get through every situation. But Father God, we thank you. If anyone is here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm not saved. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I don't have the greater one on the inside of me. And I want to tonight. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe here tonight and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with the Lord, but I've turned my back. I went away and I want to come back home. I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you that they will come into the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, I always like to give an opportunity for someone who's sick to get healed. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, I want you to come down here. We want to pray for you. If you need healing, come down here. Amen. Because, you know, I don't want you to leave this place. God has given me a healing anointing. And, you know, he's also told me, he said, you know, always give an opportunity for someone to get healed. Anybody need to get healed tonight? I mean, come on down here. Come on down here. Amen. Praise God. You know, a lot of times people are, they just don't want to come down because they're embarrassed or whatever. Nothing to be embarrassed about getting healed. Amen. Getting healed is a good thing. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Now, I'm not the healer Jesus is. And one way that Jesus heals is through the laying on of hands. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay my hands upon your head, and the power of God will flow into your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And I'm going to ask you that are down here, I'm going to ask you to lift both hands toward heaven. And I want you to think about Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we thank you right now as we lay hands upon these fine women, Father. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing in their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. In the name of Jesus, be healed. There it is, right there. Amen. 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 Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. You know, I was just actually, I was just reading, someone actually wrote on my Facebook that they came to the men's conference. I prayed for healing. I read it really fast right before I came in here. So I think they said they had been dealing with something for 15 years and God healed them. Amen. It's just so awesome. They were just giving God glory. They were thanking me for being used by God. Amen. And some people are healed instantly. Some people are healed as we go. But what you need to know, the healing power of God is working in your body to affect a healing and a cure. If you wake up tomorrow and you don't feel any different, don't be moved by what you feel. But you have to know the greater one is working on the inside. Amen? Amen. Well,